future of the ruined cottage in Drumskitrick, without doubt the birthplace of President Hoover's maternal great-great-grandmother, is now secure. The beneficent McFinney Hoover Foundation has even stipulated that Packy McGoldrick should be employed as curator. This has somewhat bitter resonances for Fonsy Doherty, chairman of the Development Association and owner of the Squilly Arms, for Packy's relationship with Fonsy's daughter, Josie, bears all the appearances of permanence. The Presbyterian minister, Samuel Hawthorne, and his schoolteacher wife, Vivian, have had to accept that the Hoover homestead, which they believed stood on land belonging to their congregation, was proven otherwise, with dubious legality. These developments are critically observed by Muriel McConkie, owner of the corner shop, and her sister Vera, operator of the manual telephone exchange. Ballylennan, 1956.
Ballylennan call office, number please. Oh, hello, Mr. Bonner. Parcels? What kind of parcels, Mr. Bonner? Well, is there no address on them? All right. I'll tell the postman to go down to the station for them, but he'll be none too pleased for the extra journey. I hear he burst his back tire going up to some wild place like Drumskitrick to deliver an American letter to a family that's been dead and gone since old God's time. All right. Goodbye now, Mr. Bonner. Uriel, are you out in the shop?
What is it, Vera?
Was there anything in the Vindicator about the senses?
What's that, Vera?
Oh, I'll come out to you. I need to stretch my limbs. Oh, look. I didn't know that you were still selling the old foul rings. I thought they'd gone out of fashion long ago.
Oh, they have, but isn't it a sin to throw them out? Nobody rings their hens these days. I suppose it's the way they don't need to tell their age, now that they're selling the pullets and cockerels as year-olds.
Oh, they're nice enough, though, the colours on them.
Mm-hmm. Would Mr. Wright fancy me with a purple ring on my finger, I wonder?
I wouldn't try, Muriel. The colour of that ring is to tell what age you are.
Oh.
You'd only be inviting remarks about spring chickens. Where did you get them from, anyway?
Oh, from Mr. Carthy, the chicken choker from Kilmacrennan. And what were you saying about the Vindicator?
Did you see anything on it about the census?
No, no. But there was a whole page on the beatification of the nun in, where was it? Oh, Tanganyika or Trinidad. Somewhere out foreign, beginning with a T. She was one of those boils from Mouville.
We stumpy Bonner was on the line from the station. Four big parcels of census forms were left off the Lifford train. I have to tell Patsy O'Donnell to pick them up, and then he'll have to deliver the forms to all the houses.
Some people haven't had a letter for years. They're drop dead with fright when they see him coming.
If they aren't dead already. Anyway, I suppose we'll have to fill them in when they come. What would happen if you filled in that you had 10 children? Would they give you 10 children's allowances? Oh, and what do you do if you have a child on the way?
I suppose you could put it down as a half a person.
That's what Reverend and Mrs. Hawthorne will likely be doing.
Mm-hmm. I wonder when she's due. Oh, she's that mysterious about it. Mm-hmm. She's been hinting about it long enough.
To my mind, it's all hint and no action.
Action?
Oh, Muriel, I didn't know what I was saying.
Lead kindly blue.
Don't strain yourself, Vivian.
The expansion of the diaphragm to the extent required by singing is quite a minor exercise, Samuel. I wonder if lead kindly light isn't a bit of a cliché.
I've come to realise that in times of bereavement, people prefer the cliché, especially in country congregations.
There is the advantage that everyone will know the tune. What about this? Lou, we stand here at Lazarus' tomb.
I doubt if the late Mr. Doak is likely to rise again.
I hope not. The words are a bit depressing, but then a funeral is depressing.
Depressing? Oh, no, Vivian. It should be a time for thanksgiving and praise, remembering the blessings of a long life.
The blessings of a long life? What blessings did the life of the late Mr. Humphrey Doak ever bestow on anybody? He was the world's greatest misery. It's the proverbial happy release for his family. Those who are lucky enough to be left to enjoy a little time without him.
Charity, Vivian. We must surely mourn the passing of anyone who leaves our small community further depleted.
I take your point. I'm not the best of form, as you'll have noticed. well, then. Lead kindly life. You know, I think we should have put up a stronger resistance to their claim to the ownership of the President Hoover homestead, or whatever they're calling it now. It preys on my mind that we let it go without proper legal investigation.
Investigation? How could we have afforded to? And as everyone knows, there was no documentary proof that the church referred to our church and not their church. We should resign ourselves to it with good grace, Vivian.
At least the property will be vested in the Ballylennan Development Association, so we can keep a watch on it at committee meetings.
One shouldn't attend meetings in a spirit of espionage, Vivian.
Espionage? Aren't the two Miss McConkies the inventors of espionage, complete with their government-owned hearing device? But there is one very positive aspect to the American Homestead project. Mrs. McFinney's insistence that Packy McGoldrick should be appointed to the curatorship. She certainly had her wits about her when she nominated him.
He's a bright lad. And the idea of employing a returned immigrant is appealing, especially when so few return.
It might also serve to ease Mr. Doherty's misgivings about Josie marrying a penniless vagrant, if she is going to marry him. I don't know.
Penniless vagrant? Who's indulging in clichés now?
Lead kindly light amid the circling
gloom. Ballylennan call office.
Is that you, Miss McConkie?
Hello, Mr. Doherty. Are you looking for my sister? Because she has a customer or two out in the shop.
Well, you can't pass on to her while I'm asking you. Did you hear anything about a singing competition confined to members of the police force?
That sounds like an unusual event, Mr. Doherty.
It is unusual. It's in New York,
ooh,
if what I hear is correct.
Did you not think of asking Guard Gallagher?
I did, of course, think of it. But you know the way he is. You wouldn't want to be going to him straight off like that. It might look as if you were prying for information. It might steer him off his road, you know. Or you'd want to respect his privacy. He's so modest.
Bashful, Mr. Doherty. It wasn't on the paper, I suppose.
Well, what I was thinking was, if Guard Gallagher hasn't heard about it, maybe someone should tell him. If he was to go to New York, there'd be a big blaze of publicity for the town. And if he was to win...
I don't think there'd be much fear of that.
They do get a bit dried up in the summer, Mrs. Finnegan. But the Forex powder should put you right. Goodbye now.
What's that?
My sister's showing someone out of the shop. She's coming now. She must sense you're on the phone.
She has second sight.
Mrs. Finnegan's having terrible trouble with her Anthem Rhino.
Mr. Doherty's on the line. Oh. I'll put him through on the extension. I listen in on the switch.
Is that you, Fonsey?
Hello, Muriel. You heard nothing about a police singing competition in New York?
I would have, Fonsey.
Well, no, you wouldn't. But if we got Gary Gallagher to enter, there's nothing to stop us attaching a big tourism campaign to it. It could be the answer to what we've been trying to do for years, to put the town on the map fair and square.
Do you want me to call a meeting?
We should anyway. You know, it's a long time since we held a meeting. People might be thinking the Development Association's lost its sense of enterprise.
I'll send out notices, but Guard Gallagher mightn't come. I think he's avoiding myself and my sister since Napper Tandy bit him on the shin.
He mightn't want to meet you across the table.
No, he doesn't want to meet me anywhere. Very embarrassing.
Wish, Muriel, look out the window.
What?
What's that?
It's only my sister pointing something out to me. What? What have
you read? Look there for the entry to the Peggery Lane. Oh, he's gone. Guard Gallagher.
Hello.
Sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Doherty. I was just telling my sister I caught a glimpse of Guard Gallagher out in the street. He went up and entered. Oh, there he is again, peeping out.
Oh. Hello, Fonsey. I was saying it would be embarrassing for me to approach Guard Gallagher because of what happened with the dog when he was lodging with us.
But if he's out there in the street, could you not make a sign to him through the window that you want a wee talk, huh?
By the look of him, he could be wanting to talk with us. His belongings are still upstairs in our spare room. I didn't touch them all the time he was in the hospital.
Could you not ask him in, either of you, and let out the news about the singing competition to break the ice,
I can
know?
See his head poking round the corner of the arch. He's looking our way.
Your house is under surveillance. Where is he stopping since he was discharged?
He could be back with the married sister. The barracks is still under renovation.
Well, Muriel, are you still there, Muriel?
Oh, yes, Fonsey.
Will you call a meeting in the Swilly Arms next Thursday at 9?
Yes.
Now, Thursday's a bad night for the Reverend and Mrs. Hawthorne with their choir practice.
Aye.
But it's a good night for Father O'Flatley.
Oh, aye. If he's not out left in the ditches on the cross country.
Well, Thursday, then. And if the rest can't make it, they can read it on the minutes.
Aye, be seeing you then.
Goodbye now, Mr. Doherty.
God, Gallagher's still standing in that entry, Vera. I wonder if I should go out and ask him for a chat.
No, you can't do that. He'd know we'd been watching him juking in and out of the lane.
Mm. Well, I won't go anyway. There's a magpie on the roof of the old courthouse. I couldn't go out with a magpie on the roof.
Bye, Juicy. Thanks for the coffee.
Oh, Samuel, there you are. Sorry to keep you waiting.
I thought you'd forgotten our rendezvous.
Outside the baby wear shop in Main Street.
So I took a little stroll and I met poor Mrs. Doak coming out of the cemetery, and she said she'd seen you going into Hazlitt's Bakery in Butt Road.
Yes, I saw Josie Doherty going in. So I thought I'd ask her about Packy McGoldrick. You know, had he decided to take on the job of curator at the Hoover Homestead?
And has he?
Josie was buying a dozen soda fars. I bought a penny bap and we said hello. And then she said, would I like a cup of coffee. So I said yes. But I'd have to be quick because I was meeting you.
Yes?
Well, it turned out she was wanting to speak to me. She said her father hadn't said a word about Mrs. McFinney promising the job to Packy. So I said it was all agreed at the last meeting when Mrs. McFinney sent her check.
Check?
Yes. And then she said, would I bring it up at the next meeting? Because her father's inclined to get irritable when she mentions anything to do with Packy. So I said I'd be delighted. Wasn't that the right thing to do, Samuel?
Oh, yes, Vivian. But I hope it won't make for difficulties at the meeting.
Why should it? Everything should be out in the open.
Oh, did I put my fountain pen in my bag? Oh, yes, I did. And a minute. Yes.
Don't forget to propose a vote of sympathy for the family of Humphrey Doak. That'd go down well.
But I won't bother if Reverend and Mrs. Hawthorne aren't there. Oh, Vera, look who's crossing the street.
Oh, Gerd Gallagher. He's likely going to the meeting.
Will I speak to him or let him go on?
You might as well speak to him. Well, he'll have to sometime.
Is my hat straight?
Go on. He won't be looking at your hat.
I'll ask Fonzie back for a cup of tea if it's not too late.
Right so.
Grand evening, that, Miss McConkie.
Oh, Mr. Gallagher. I didn't see you. I was thinking of something else.
Going up to the Swilly Arms?
Well, I am. And you'll be going there yourself, so at least we'll have a quorum.
Miss McConkie, there was something I was meaning to ask you.
Yes, Mr. Gallagher.
There's a few belongings of mine in your house.
I think there may be. We haven't touched them.
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't, Miss McConkie.
Might just put some garments back into the wardrobe. I suppose they've fallen out. But apart from that... Oh, and I think she found half a sultana's scone under the bed. It must have been there for a long time.
I was wondering what had become of that scone.
There was a big pair of black shoes needing repair and a tube of Rolos. But we didn't touch anything.
Would it be putting you out if I come round to collect them?
You were wondering why you hadn't done that already. And you must stop for a cup of tea.
Thanks very much, Miss McConkie.
Is it true you're leaving us?
Leaving?
Well, aren't you going to America?
America?
Well, someone mentioned that.
I'm as likely to go to the moon, Miss McConkie.
Oh, they must have meant somebody else. Oh, here's Reverend Hawthorne. I thought he wasn't coming to the meeting. Good evening, Reverend.
Good evening, Miss McConkie. Mr. Gallagher.
Going up to the meeting, Your Reverence.
I thought I wouldn't be able to attend, but we had a sad bereavement in the congregation, and choir practice has been cancelled this week as a mark of respect.
Oh, yes, poor Mr. Doak. He'll be sadly missed.
Sincere condolences, Your Reverence.
Thank you.
He was in the next ward to me in the county infirmary.
Infirmary. Oh, have you been indisposed?
Oh, no, just the dog bite.
Dog napper Tandy's a very quiet dog, Reverend Hawthorne. I don't know what God Gallagher have done to annoy him. He's very sensitive. Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Oh, look, there's Mr. Doherty at the door of the hotel. Wouldn't he put you in mind of an old-time painting? Mine host welcoming travellers to the inn. I'm sure he's anxious for the meeting to start.
Order now, ladies and gentlemen, please. You're all very welcome to the Mockery Suite. And in case you've been hearing anything about the hard economic times we're all going through, I'm still giving the room free for this meeting.
Oh, very generous, very generous.
Thank you, kindly.
Any apologies, Madam Secretary?
Well, Father O'Flaherty is at the annual Handball Association AGM and banquet. And Mr. Bonner telephoned my sister to say he won't be along because the brucellosis eradication scheme has taken a half a page on the Vindicator and he has to cut down what he wrote for this week's jottings.
And Mrs. Hawthorne?
My wife hopes to be along later.
Very good. The best wine for the end, isn't that right, Reverend? And welcome to you too, Guard Gallagher, after your absence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, you've all had the minutes. Will we take them as read and proceed to item number one, a very interesting item.
Excuse me, Chairman. May I allude briefly to a sentence in the minutes? Where is it? My wife marked it in red. Oh, here it is. It was agreed that money donated by the McFinney Hoover Foundation should be used in full to purchase, renovate and develop the disused McFinney Cottage as a permanent memorial to Martha McFinney, maternal great-great-grandmother of President Hoover.
That's right, Reverend. That's what was agreed.
Agreed. What my wife... What I wish to ascertain is who will be the recipient of the very large sum of $4,000?
The previous owner of the cottage, Reverend.
But who is the previous owner?
I think I informed the meeting that it was a special wish of the previous owner to keep his identity confidential. I think I emphasized that point.
Oh, yes, you did, Chairman. You emphasized it.
And do you know the identity of this person, Chairman?
Well, of course I do. As appointed estate agent, I was responsible for the smooth running of the sale. And I think you'll all agree that my negotiation has placed this committee in a very favourable position. Very favourable.
And is this vendor a person of a philanthropic nature?
A what? Oh yes, very he's a very deep thinker.
And disinterested?
Oh, no. He was very interested in seeing that it had all turned out very beneficial for the whole community.
Ah, yes, Mr. Chairman, the whole community.
Yes, the whole community. Is there any further information I can give you now, Reverend? Well, within the bounds of what I'm empowered to give.
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman.
Anything further Mrs. Hawthorne would like to know?
She may be along later.
Ah, yes, you'll be very welcome to a full discussion. Very welcome. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me turn to this interesting item. Number one, the NYPD fesh.
What's the NYPD?
Oh, yeah, I knew someone would ask me that. I have information here for Mr. Barr, who got it in the Vindicator office and has given us the privilege of seeing it before it's published. The Irish chapter of the New York Police Department Social Club is holding a big concert to determine the Irish police force of the world. Now, what do you make of that? Huh? Well, what springs to mind?
Is this a singing competition?
It is indeed. A fest is a musical competition in the Irish language, Reverend. You that didn't have the benefit of going to school here. Well, shouldn't all eyes be on... God, Gallagher here, huh?
I heard nothing of this.
No, it's privileged news, and you're getting it now from me first.
Well, I'd never get off work for the like of that, Mr. Chairman. And as well as that, I wouldn't have much of a chance.
Ah, you're too modest altogether, John. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, you are.
And of course you'll be let off work. And did you do holidays?
I have my holidays already. Took 2 weeks helping my uncle stack the turf.
For an important event like this, where you'd be obtaining a high profile for the force, wouldn't the superintendent be glad to give you a leave of absence? And if he didn't, there are those who'd see to it that he changes his mind.
Well, I don't know.
We won't press you, so yeah, but there's another side to it. There'd be great advantages for this town. Not many towns in Ireland to be able to field a member of the police force with a voice like a Guard Gallagher here.
Nowhere, Mr.
No, Gallagher. But we'll say no more. We'll say no more for the time being. Now, the next item.
I'll think about it.
In your own good time, Guard. And now...
I'm a bit out of practice.
Ah, you might be. Now, the problem of the open sewer at the back of the bakery is going to rise to... Mrs. Hawthorne, take a seat there beside Guard Gallagher, will you?
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mrs. Hawthorne.
To put you in the picture, Mrs. Hawthorne, we were just discussing the possibility of sponsoring an entry to the singing competition for Irish police to be held in New York. But Gard Galler here, for very good reasons of his own, I'm sure, isn't too keen.
Why is he not too keen? Through the chair. Why are you not too keen?
I'm not in too good voice, Mrs. Hawthorpe.
You can put yourself into good voice. An hour's practice every day. I'll accompany you. You can come round to the manse. This could be the making of you, God. Vocally, I mean.
And earn great publicity for the town.
Talent must not go unregarded. I'm sure there's a parable about that. Isn't there, Samuel?
The 10 talents?
No, not that one.
The field of tares?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher's considering the matter.
Mr. Gallagher, through the chair, you must enter this competition.
Well, if you think so, but I don't know what kind of a song you should sing at a concert the like of that.
We go through my sheet music. We may even find something that's in your repertoire. May I make a formal proposal, Chairman, that this association supports Mr. Gallagher's entry to whatever you said it was.
Seconded.
In favour?
Aye.
I abstain.
Passed unanimously with one abstention.
Congratulations, Guard.
This is very sudden.
There's nothing like a quick decision, isn't that so, Chairman, to stimulate creativity.
Aye. And now, to the matter of the sewers,
Excuse me. Yes? I think I missed the item on the Hoover homestead. It has come to my notice that Mr. Packy McGoldrick, who was nominated as curator by Mrs. McFinney when she made her donation, has received no confirmation of his appointment. Is it not within your remit, Charman, to inform Mr. McGoldrick that the post is his?
Oh, it is, Mrs. Hawthorne. It is, yes. And I'll be happy to do so.
I understand Mr. McGoldrick is wondering why you haven't already.
Well, if he's feeling impatient, Mrs. Hawthorne, he's only to give me the nudge. You see, I've so much business to attend to. But I'll draft a letter this evening, if Madam Secretary can spare me half an hour to take it down.
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Agreed. And now...
That was very quick.
Oh, there's nothing like a quick decision, Mrs. Hawthorne, to stimulate... What was it? Creativity.
Oh, the Reverend Hawthorne and his missus were both there. Come on, sit over to your tea, Muriel. And you banking that neither of them would come. You know, it's a wonder they didn't bring the canary.
Oh, Francie was very businesslike with them. It's so diplomatic. When the meeting was over, he drew me aside into the wee nook on the back stairs. And he was starting to tell me why he did nothing about giving the job to Patsy McGoldrick. But Mrs. Hawthorne came down on her way to the ladies' closet. And we had to...
Oh, that might be him now. He wasn't able to come back with me for the tea.
Ballylane and call office. The exchange closes at 10 p.m. and will reopen...
I know that, Mr. Conkey. Is your sister back?
She's here beside me.
It's him. Hello, Fonzie. Oh, I was just saying you were so diplomatic.
Ah, well, you have to be when you're in a position of prominence, Muriel. What I was going to say to you when we were interrupted by that one is that it's no skin off my nose if the committee want young McGoldrick to get the job of curator. But when it comes to the point, who's going to pay him?
Oh, that didn't strike her.
Because the McFinney money's for the rehabilitation of the cottage. It wouldn't stretch to cover the wages of a fairy. But for that again, if Gard Gallagher goes to America and gets big publicity for his singing on account of him comes from the birthplace of President Hoover's great-great-grandmother, that'll bring the tourists flocking. And then there might be cash to pay your man.
That would take some time, Fonzie.
You may be sure it would. You have to suit these things to the situation, and it's a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. So, when you're writing the minutes, Muriel, say nothing about where we get the money for his wages. Only that he was appointed to the post.
I'll do that.
So long, so, Muriel.
Good night, Fonzie.
Will I ring off, Vera?
Give the handle a bird.
Did the opportunity not eat his supper?
I haven't set eyes on Uppertandy all day.
Oh, I hope he hasn't strayed again.
Oh, it could be he didn't like the turnip cuttings, but I mashed them up well with the gravy off that sheep's tongue.
And the sheep's tongue was delicious.
Do you think I should inquire about him at the barracks?
Oh, you should, Vera. I think Gard Gallagher's trying to bury the hatchet with us.
Surely it must have dawned on him by now that Nappertandy wouldn't have bitten him, only he was provoked.
Well, he's coming round to collect his belongings anyway. Oh, and I forgot to tell you what I heard in Hazlitt's bakery. Gard Gallagher's taking driving lessons.
I don't believe you. Sure, poor Gard Gallagher couldn't drive a nail.
No, come here.
I'll see what it is, G. Josie. Oh, good God. God Gallagher's after reversing into a crate of empty saw.
Hey. Are you all right, Jared?
Did it hit something?
No, nothing much. But if I had been full bottles, you'd have got a big bill for compensation.
Is there any damage done to the back of the car?
No, no, no. You needn't get out. It's so badly dented already, no one would notice. Who owns the car?
It's an old Ford 10 I borrowed from the blacksmith. I wouldn't like to practise in the new one.
I hope it's taxed.
Oh, gosh. I never thought of that.
You were out early, John.
I thought the street would be clear of traffic.
You're lucky it is. Oh, here's Miss McConkie. Out early, too. Hello, Miss McConkie. It's easy to see. You prefer the song of the lark to the squeak of a bat.
I've messages to do before I open the exchange. My sister's at early mass. Oh, is that you, Guard Gallagher?
Hello, Miss McConkie. A person who's the reputation for rising early can sleep all day.
I wish I could do that. May I have a word with you, Guard?
I'll get Packy McGoldrick to sweep up the bits of bottles. Be seeing you.
Will you sit into the car?
No, I'll only be half a minute. Napper Tandy has strayed again.
He's lately gone back to Killiecromper Hall, where I found him the last time. What the cook throws out from that kitchen, you'd pay good money for it in a cafe.
We don't want to go up there looking for him. It didn't look well last time, my sister dragging him back through the town in a chain, with people peeking out from behind their windows. It needs a stronger arm.
I'll do that for you, Miss McConkie. No trouble. I'll wear a pair of Wellington boots in case he takes a nip at my shins.
Thank you. We were wondering, too, if you'd like your room back. Temporarily, till the barracks is rebuilt.
Oh, I'd like to, Miss McConkie, but that dog goes wild at night.
It was only the sight of you in your night attire. We'll make sure he's well locked into the telephone booth this time. Oh, but there's another thing. No singing after 10 p.m.
That's all right, Miss McConkie. I do a new kind of silent practice now. I read the tune off the sheet music and I imagine the sounds in my head.
The silent singer? You could make a fortune out of concerts for the deaf.
I'll come round on Sunday night about 8.
And I'll give that room a good run over with a broom.
Will you take a lift back down the street?
No, thanks. I've to call in to Miss Pollock's for a new drying up cloth.
Be seeing you then, Miss McConkie. Now, you step back now. I'll have to try and reverse out of this. Did it hit something?
Ali Lennon was written by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty was T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy, Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker, Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Reverend Samuel Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy, and Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt. Ali Lennon was directed in Belfast by Peter Kavanagh.